There is a story of a lady who takes her daughter to the doctor and says to the doctor, please help her, she feels unwell, and especially in the mornings. And the doctor checks her and says, lady, your daughter is pregnant. And the lady says, well, that's just impossible. You know, my daughter is a model daughter. It'd be unthinkable for her to be pregnant. And the doctor walks over to the window and stares out through the window for quite a long time until the woman says to the doctor, is everything okay? And the doctor says, well, the last time this happened, there was a star in the east, and I'm just looking to see its reappearance. I tell you that to tell you this, and that is that if you listen to everything that is being said about Christmas at the moment, at least in the television, radio, newspapers, if you listen to everything that is being said about Christmas, read every comment, every opinion, every newspaper article, you'll find that none of them will tell you what I'm going to tell you for the next couple of minutes, which is that we need to face up to ourselves. No newspaper, television, radio commentator will tell us at Christmas that we need to face up to ourselves. But that's what Christmas does tell us. And until we do face up to ourselves, we can never really understand Christmas. We can never really rejoice, as we're told so often. We can never really adore him, as that famous hymn tells us. And because people don't really want to face up to themselves, we invent 1,000 more flattering messages around the Christmas season. And that's because, like the lady in the story, we're in kind of denial. Perhaps the most significant change that has taken place in the last 100 years is the complete failure of the human race to face up to itself. A new message has taken over pretty well everything. And it says that we are basically good people. We're good-hearted. We can solve our problems, especially because we've got science to help us. We don't need a saviour anymore. And all that talk of sin and a saviour is now antiquated and is destructive and negative. And we especially don't want to say it to our children. Otherwise, how will they grow up with a healthy sense of self-esteem? We are in denial. We want to believe that we are model people. And if you come to the average funeral, someone will get up and tell you we're model people. So what has taken place is that the real solar system of the universe, which is a Christ-centered solar system, has been replaced by a new mental solar system which operates in our own heads, where we are at the centre. And of course it's a very flattering solar system, and it appeals to our ego and it appeals to our plans, but have you noticed that it's not working that well? It's just not functioning that well. To say nothing of the fact that there is a collision course going on with a whole lot of people who think that they are the centre of the universe. There is global self-centeredness, which means incredible debt in the West, which is very anti-Christian. There is incredible neglect of others. So many in the West are predicting very dark days. Many in the West are saying that we peaked in the 60s and we're sliding downhill. Have you noticed that the social helping agencies are just scratching the surface? And that's because needy people are being helped by very needy people, with few solutions beyond some medication and some postponing. And in your own life, are you really on top of things? Do you not feel that you have more problems than you did last year, and probably fewer resources to deal with the problems? I don't want to be negative. Please don't. I'm trying not to be negative. I just want to be like the doctor who gets himself and his patients and his people to face what may be the reality about ourselves, which may be humbling, but it does need to be faced sooner or later. And to point such people to help, which is found most wonderfully in Christ, who is being steadfastly ignored, avoided, and refused. So if you'll see the box on the very front of your carol sheet, I want to take you back to this very famous, perhaps one of the most famous, Christmas texts. It's at the top of the front of your service sheet, and it says, "The angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" We know this verse so well, we almost fall asleep as it's heard. I want to show you three things which flow from this verse, which I trust you will treasure. The first is Christianity is unashamedly supernatural. See the first words? The angel said, "Don't be afraid." The angel said, "Don't be afraid." Now, we could say that this is a fairy story and that angels like leprechauns and unicorns are total fiction. That would be a quick solution, a quick mental solution. Or we could just become very sentimental and say, this is a nice thing for kids. We like kids dressing up as angels. We like telling kids that there are comforting, friendly angels. We could decide in our heads that an angel is a myth. And we could say to ourselves, I only believe real things. I'm an adult. I'm suspending this angel stuff. In fact, I'd like to remove it. Now, that of friends would completely miss the historical point that these first century men and women had no category for angels either. These angels were no cutesy cherubs. They shocked and they terrified everybody they appeared in front of. So these men and these women were not inventing fun creatures. These people had no preparation for an angel either. They had to think through, what are we facing? And they didn't work it out quickly. It took them a very long time to process what they were facing. Exactly the same when Jesus appeared and people had to process Jesus. Why is he calming a storm by speaking? Why is he raising a dead man by speaking? Why is he curing a blind man with his voice? People had to process what they were facing. So if you decide that the supernatural is fiction, before you work out if the supernatural is real, you'll never be able to work out if it's real, because you've decided that it's fiction. You've taken the familiar ostrich position. And you'd have to take all the Judeo-Christian history, which is 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus, and you'd have to go down into a kind of a mental cellar with that information, and you'd have to kind of hide it or refuse to read it. I think it's hard to do that once you believe Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There's got to be room for an angel if a supernatural God has created the heavens and the earth. And it's such a sad bias for people to take, because you cannot weigh up the visit of Jesus, who's come on a peacemaking mission, which is beyond this world. And you can't be a person of integrity either, because you have, in the magnificent phrase of an Indian man, cafeteria thinking. That is, you're just selecting what you like. And that's not integrity. Integrity means you face all the evidence. I mean, imagine you want to live in your house and pretend that there is no outside at all. You can live in your house and pretend there is no outside at all, but when the letters come under the door inviting you to go to something outside which is more wonderful than anything inside, and you put all the letters in the bin immediately, you can't say that you're being a person of integrity at that point. You're being determined, but you're just not being a person of integrity. My favourite Christmas card this year is a picture of two shepherds with their arms folded, and they're looking off into the black sky, and they're saying, "I see no sign." and behind them are 15 of their sheep forming a pyramid, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, pointing at the star up in the sky. And there is that kind of mentality which goes on among the very determined unbelievers. When God brings a message from heaven to earth, and he tells us that he's got plans to take people from earth to heaven, what do you gain by saying, this is a closed universe? That's all I'm believing. I'm a realist, you say. I'm a scientist. I'm not believing any of that stuff. As we meet in the building, of course, one of the familiar music gurus of Sydney, Molly Meldrum, is struggling in a hospital somewhere, and bringing to him some music, some food, some presents is not really the key stuff at the moment, is it? And that's why you'll notice that even his friends are trying to send up prayers, because they suddenly realize things are out of their hands. So this word angel, which comes in this text, Luke chapter 2, is a reminder to you that Christianity isn't and cannot be something natural. I know family is pretty natural, and presents are natural, and food is natural, and Santa is pretty natural. And of course the world prefers these things because they leave us in the center of our solar system. And they mean that we don't have to face up to ourselves. But it's a tragedy when you don't face up to yourself. You're settling for the short term and the mist of a passing life. You're treating yourself like a little blob in the cosmos. You're despising the message of God and the messenger of God. You're staying in a kind of a make-believe man. No, Christianity is unashamedly supernatural. Heaven has brought a message to earth to tell earth that there is a future for those who listen in heaven. It is unashamedly supernatural. Always has been, always will be. Second, Christianity is unashamedly about salvation. See the verse? A saviour has been born, a liberator, a deliverer. Now, friends, our world doesn't know what to do with this idea of a saviour, because it doesn't understand the problem. Picture two people walking along Bondi Beach. It's a very rough surf. The boy says to the girl, I love you, I'll save you. And he dives into the surf and he's carried out and he dies. Does that rescue salvation make any sense at all? No, it makes no sense at all. That's how people see the death of Jesus. He died, says the world. I'm sorry he died. I want to be as respectful as I can be, but I'm sorry, I just don't care that much. Now run the same two people along the beach at Bondi. She dives in recklessly. Soon she's swept out. He calls out in a loud voice, I love you, I'll rescue you. In he goes. He rescues her as he's pushing her up onto the beach. He himself is caught back in a rip and carried out and dies. Does that love, salvation, rescue make sense? Yes, it does. And friends, we're not on the beach. That's what Jesus tells us. We're not on the beach. We're in the surf. Just watch your photo album and you'll see you are a person whose life is running out like sand in the egg timer. Just watch. Soon you'll be gone. Do you think you're really safe? You remember I said before, the old gospel is drowning out or being drowned out by the new gospel, which says that we're good and we're fine and we're wonderful and we don't need a saviour. This new gospel that we're great and fine and perfectly okay is everywhere. It's very popular. It's very flattering. It liberates us from any obligations to Christ. It seems as though it does. We don't have to eat humble pie. We don't have to call out to him. We don't have to do what he says. But the rip that we're in is real. And it's not some cruel sea out there that's kind of taken us over that we can blame. The problem is really ourselves. It's our own secret life. It's the secret life that avoids facing up to God. It insists on just plugging on with day after day after day, in charge of everything, in a kind of opposition to God. One psychologist has said, and he's a Christian, sin is not a mini mistake or a naughty vice or a personal indulgence. It's a network of compulsive attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors which are deeply rooted in us because of alienation from God. We have got a mess inside us. And the new gospel rejects the greatest thinker who's ever appeared in this world, who's Jesus, who said the mess is inside you. The factory of evil is inside you. Somebody needs to change you and transform you, forgive you, change you, secure you. Somebody needs to come and do that for you. That's what Jesus is able to do. When we meet our Maker, does it ever occur to you that you'll just stand there on your own? You'll just meet God, you, and Him. There'll be no group to hide behind. There'll be no team to share the blame. It'll be just you, face to face, with the perfect, knows everything, does everything perfectly, judge of the universe. How will we escape unless we have a Saviour? A Saviour called Jesus. So Christianity is unashamedly about salvation, that God would come and die for people like us who are hostile to Him, and we're evasive, and we're slippery, and we're defiant. When the gospel message came to the Aztecs in the 15th century, they were absolutely shocked by the gospel, because the Aztecs sacrificed people to make God happy. And here were these messengers coming and saying, God has sacrificed Himself to collect you. Christianity is unashamedly about salvation. Third and lastly, Christianity is unashamedly about spreading. It's good news for all people. You notice that? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. How is it possible that Christians who get the message that there is someone called Jesus who is the Saviour and the Lord, and He has great love for people and great power to save people, He can give them forgiveness, a place in God's family, and a future, how is it possible Christians are going to keep quiet? I know we're being told to be quiet, but how is it possible that a Christian who really loves people can keep quiet? The famous banker J.P. Morgan, in his will, I was astonished to read this. Man I thought would be a big, tough businessman. This is what he wrote as part of his will. A very generous will as well. I commit my soul into the hands of my Saviour in full confidence that having redeemed it and washed it in His most precious blood, He will present it faultless before the throne of my Heavenly Father. And I entreat my children to maintain and defend at all hazard and at any cost of personal sacrifice, the blessed doctrine of the complete atonement for sin through the blood of Jesus Christ once offered through that alone. Well, there's a man with great values and great vision and lasting influence. What's he saying? Tell people. Tell people. Now, the word people in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, is actually the word that originally meant the Jewish people. And how would we be this evening if I was to stand up in front of you and say, look, I'm sorry, the message of forgiveness and a place in God's family and a future is for the people of Israel. We've just missed out. Well, God doesn't owe us any salvation. We don't deserve it. But the chapter 2 of Luke goes on to speak about Jesus being a light to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and that includes us, and that's why we also have a hope. Christianity is global news. Do you know the fastest growing religion in the world today? Is Christianity. The fastest growing in Europe is Islam. But African Christianity has grown in the last 100 years from 10 million to 350 million. Probably the greatest growth in the history of the world. In South America, in Russia, in China, in India, massive spread of the gospel. The top two missionary sending countries are America and South Korea. As one writer says, who is Indian, if you think the church is dying, you live in the wrong area. And we do. in terms of assessing the growth of the church, we don't get it because we're just in the wrong place. Of course, atheism is becoming more vocal as well, but it's more in the proud and the selfish West rather than the humble and the thinking rest of the world. So despite all the false advertising that when you become a Christian, it will be miserable for you, and if you stay away from Christ, you'll be happy, millions and millions are finding joy and salvation in Christ. Despite the many problems that people are experiencing in every part of the world, not all are becoming bitter and shaking their fist at Christ. Many are seeing that God has actually worked in their very difficult circumstances to drive them to Christ for peace and help and resources and salvation that goes beyond this world. Despite the strange idea that God is hiding, and as you may have read in the paper recently, he is the elusive God, but we are hoping to find the God particle that will track him down. Actually, when you open up the Bible, you discover that God has come in the person of Jesus like a good shepherd seeking elusive people like us and dying for us so that we might live. Christianity, friends, is unashamedly supernatural. The angel spoke, "Watch the pagan world avoid the supernatural as best it can." But that's to miss everything. Christianity is unashamedly about salvation. A saviour has been born. We need him. We're in the rip. And Christianity is unashamedly about spreading. It's for all people, including you who are here this evening. Most of you here this evening have already put your faith in Jesus Christ. I want to simply urge you at this carol service, hold your head high because of Jesus. Hold on to the gospel. It is the only really valuable thing to say. Please don't think that Jesus came to build a bridge between you and the lunch table. He came to build a bridge from heaven to earth. You really have something to say. And Christianity is unashamedly about spreading. It's a message for all people, even you who are here tonight. You who think that you could never be saved. You who think you could never be loved. You who think you could never be forgiven. It's absolutely for you. And if you're a Christian this evening, I hope that you will hold the gospel. And if you're not a Christian this evening, I hope you'll do two simple things. One, collect. Collect the information which is available for yourself. And as you shake hands this evening, if you don't have a copy of Luke's gospel, I'll give you one. And the other thing to do, if you know the information but you just haven't got round to responding because you're still on the run, is connect. Connect. Lift up your prayer to him. Ask him to be your Lord and your Saviour and to take over your life and to bless you as you follow him for the rest of your life. Christianity, unashamedly supernatural, unashamedly about salvation, unashamedly for spreading. Amen.